The world may applaud superstars, but God's world changers are humble servants. Can you say that with me?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of this evening's message that aired last week, Pastor Brian Grant took us to the passage of Scripture that tells of a teenage Virgin Mary's humble acceptance of God's purpose for her life. We heard how that submission would include the pain of a damaged reputation. Nevertheless, Mary's humble faith motivated her to risk everything for God. This evening, Pastor Grant continues the story of Mary's journey of faith from the angelic announcement of her son's miraculous birth to his sacrificial death on Calvary's cross. So here again is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of God's World Changers, Part 2.
I surrender my life to you, and God chose to use him in this incredible way. And young people, I say to you, listen, I do a lot of funerals, not only for our own members, but so many others come and want us to do funerals. I do a lot of funerals. But what a tragedy when we cannot find anything. The family can think of nothing significant that this person did. They made no impact on this world. And today God is encouraging you, young person, no matter how young you are or how old you are, God is asking you, God is inviting you, God is suggesting to you, if you surrender your life to him, he will use you in a miraculous way. And I trust we will listen to the voice of God. Write this in your notes. C.T. Studd, the great British missionary, once said, "Only one life. It will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." And I encourage you, make sure your one life is used to serve the Master. Amen? I better hurry on. First, Mary's faith motivated her to risk everything for God. But the second point I want to bring is something that we don't always talk about. So write this in your notes. Mary's faith motivated her to serve the Lord with humility. Sometimes we're so focused on who is doing the big things that we forget that humility is one of the things that really God really pays attention to. Mary's faith motivated her to serve the Lord with humility. In Luke 1:38, Mary makes this statement, "Behold, the maid servant of the Lord." Don't miss that. The maid, I am the Lord's maid servant. There is no doubt that God greatly honored Mary and made her one of the greatest world changers the world has ever known. But despite being honored by God, in this verse, Mary made it clear that she was nothing more than the Lord's maidservant. So add this to your notes. The world may applaud superstars, but God's world changers are humble servants. Can you say that with me? The world may applaud superstars, but God's world changers are humble servants. Turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Let's pick up at verse 35. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, we know this, many of us know this story, came to Jesus saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Anytime anybody comes to you like that, watch out. I ain't going to tell you what I want yet, but whatever it is, I want you to do it.
So they said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one of us on your right hand and the other on your left hand in your glory." Come on, guys. What a blatant power grab. Can you imagine that? Lord, one on the right, one on the left. I know there are 10 of us, but we want to... Come on, guys. But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." Come on. So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized." Because trouble is coming. "But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it's for those for whom it is prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John, after all. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, here's what Jesus said. "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you." Is everybody paying attention now? "But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." There is no doubt. Listen. The world may applaud, as I said before, superstars. But God's world changes our humble servants. Let's not miss verse 45. For in that verse, Jesus said, he came to what? He came to serve, not to be served. How true is that of us? Are we more interested in serving others? You know, some people automatically, if they come into a building, they want to sit right at the front. That's okay. In fact, I wish more people would come in our church. It's so funny. You go other place, everybody's rushing for the front seat. At our church, we can't get anybody in the front seat. We're going to have to start preaching from the back. But there is something. We want to be the big enchilada. You know, Rick Warren once said, I found this a very interesting thing. He said there are 750 halls of fame in America. I didn't even know there were so many. 750 halls of fame and 450 who's who publications, all right? 450 publications about who's who. But you won't find many real servants. This is not me saying no. Rick Warren said, you won't find many real servants in those places. For becoming famous means nothing to real servants. And Rick Warren went on to say, because unlike others, real servants know the difference between prominence and significance. Don't miss that. Hold on to that. Real servants know the difference between prominence and significance. And sometimes we choose prominence rather than significance as what God defines it. Thank God for those willing to be servants. For despite the example of Jesus, sometimes it's very hard to find people willing to serve, even in the church. Are you willing to serve? Amen. There's a little song we used to sing once upon a time. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, lift me up. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant. Make me a servant. Make me a servant today. First, Mary's faith motivated her to risk everything for God. Secondly, Mary's faith motivated her to serve the Lord with humility. And here's the final point I want to bring to you today. Mary's faith helped her overcome life's hardest trials. If you would go with me to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 19. John chapter 19, I'm picking up at verse 17. And he, the Lord Jesus, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, don't write the King of the Jews, but write instead, he said, I am the King of the Jews. You know, Brother Dwight gave us a beautiful discussion on this not so long ago. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one place. I'm jumping all the way down to verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the other disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own house. Listen, this is a very, very interesting passage of Scripture. Many of us who read the crucifixion story are brought to tears as we consider the brutality and pain that Jesus had to endure. But just for a moment, can we pause this morning to try and imagine what this must have been like for Mary? Just for a moment. You see, others were looking on and they were somewhat detached. In fact, some of the crowd was quite happy with what was going on. The disciples were, of course, broken up about what was happening. But put yourself in Mary's shoe. Because this was not just somebody she knew. This was not her neighbor's son. Come on, moms. How would you have dealt with this? God gave you this son, and now here he is on this cross. They're brutalizing him. They have torn up his back. And the experts tell us that his body would have been so mangled, you could see through the cavities in his body and see his internal organs from outside. Mary, his mother, is standing and she's seeing the internal organs of her son who is so brutally beaten. How would you have felt? How would you have felt? I cannot imagine the anguish she must have felt. For she knew who Jesus was. You see, she had other sons, you know. Because after she and Joseph got together, they had more children. And she knew them other boys. You better watch them boys. Look at them boys who get into all sorts of mischief. You understand what I'm saying? Just like if our parents were here. Come on, guys. All of us, if our parents were here, they would know. They could tell a lot of stories about us, even though sometimes we clean up. Am I right about it, guys? We have done a thing or two. And you girls might be much better than us boys. So don't laugh at us now. Because one thing I know, we are all sinners. Some sin is covered up. Some sin is open. But one thing I know, everybody sinned. Except this one. And here Mary is. Oh, yes, you said Jesus. You know, God had told her before, you know, that it was going to be tough. Yes, I know that. There's one thing to know ahead of time what's happening, but it's another thing to be standing at that cross and see them brutalizing your son. The way they're brutalizing him is one thing to see all that is happening is one thing to... You know, there are a lot of people who I've met. One of the reasons I believe the Lord wanted me to share this is because perhaps there's somebody in the audience or somebody listening on the radio or wherever you may be listening. And there's some people, I've met people who are mad with God. You ever run into somebody that's mad with God? Do you know I've met Christians who no longer walk with Jesus. Do you know that? Because of something that happened in their family. They got, there was something, a baby died, a child had a terrible wreck, somebody has a disease, perhaps right now you're hurting, something has gone wrong in your own life, and you're blaming God, you're saying, why did God allow this to happen to me? My brother and my sister, no matter what may happen to you, keep on trusting in Jesus. Amen. He deserves my praise because of who he is. Amen. But thank God he deserves my praise because of what he has done for me and for what he continues to do in my life. And even as Mary stands by the cross and seeing Jesus mangled, what an incredibly tender moment it is. So those of you who are wondering, does Jesus care when my heart is broken? I want you to know Jesus does care. And from the cross, despite all his trauma and all he's going through, Jesus looks across and he sees his mommy. And what does he say? Verse number 26. He said to his mom, "Woman, behold your son." I like how the NLT puts it. The NLT translates it. "Dear woman, here is your son." He's making arrangements for mom. He's reminding mom, "Mom, you remember what the angel said at the beginning? I was sent on a mission. I was sent on a mission for the whole world. But mom, I'm going. But here is your son." And he turns to John. He says to John, "Here is your mom. Here is your mother. Here is your son," he says. "And here is your mother." Put this in your notes. In his darkest hour, Jesus showed concern and compassion for his mom. What a wonderful Savior. Perhaps you're one of those who have walked away. You're wondering, if God is so powerful, why didn't he do something? Well, God wants to help you. God wants to use Mary's story. And so I want you to see another verse of scripture that tells us Mary's attitude after the incredible trauma. So let's go to Acts of the Apostles chapter 1. Acts of the Apostles chapter 1. I was going to read from verses 6 to 13, but I'll jump over some of what I was going to read. Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, verse 6 tells us, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They're wondering if he's going to set up shop and reign, and he's letting them know, no, he's not going to do that. Not now. Because, see, I'm going to leave. One day I'm coming back, amen? What? Are you excited that one day Jesus is coming again? But really what I want to just point out before I quit is Mary's attitude. Verse 12, Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up in the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, the zealot, Judas, the son of his. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman. But God, the Spirit of God, makes sure to single out one of those women. He singles out with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. Write this in the notes. Despite the horror of watching her son's crucifixion, not sure if it is in the notes, Mary's faith remained resolute. Despite the horror, her faith remained resolute. Mary was continuing steadfastly in fellowship and prayers with other believers, knowing this was not the end of people, for people of faith. I'm bringing this to a close. Perhaps you're one of those who have been hurt, and you've been angry with God because of some of the stuff he has allowed in your life. A death of a parent, death of a child, sickness. Would you have a little talk with Jesus today? Would you have a little talk with him? Let him know, Jesus, I'm so sorry for the attitude I developed. But Lord, thank you for reminding me again today how much you love me. And today, I recommit. Lord, I'm coming back. I've sort of wandered away, but I'm coming back. Perhaps you never received Christ, the one who died for you. What a wonderful thing if you would do that today. And for those of us who are Christians, and you've been a Christian, but not a totally committed Christian, why not do it now? Why not say to God, God, here's my life. Let it be. I am consecrating it to you. Take my everything. Take my life. And Lord, make it count for you. This is my commitment to you. I am committing just like Mary did. And Father, I pray that in these moments, the Spirit of God may do his work in every heart. And change may come in some home. For Christ's sake we pray.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.